gather round. It's Mecha Podcast 2000.
Hey there, hi there, how's it going? Welcome to Mega Podcast 2K, the hottest pod in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm here with Dana. I'm Seth. How you doing, Dana?
I am wonderful. It's another blessed day to be above ground. Those Atlanta's weather is lovely. We're back into the 90 degree weather.
I know. I wasn't fucking with that.
Everybody thought it was over, and Atlanta was like, nah.
Yeah, nah, this was
we had far from over.
The fake fall.
Yeah. Everybody was hyped for it, too.
People were mentioning pumpkin spice lattes. Like, Hold on, dude.
Look, I already bought pumpkin muffins and started eating them and shit. I was ready because the weather had me fooled, you know?
The fall is like, oh, man. There's something about the fall that just, like, I love it, dude.
It's here, especially in Atlanta. It's beautiful. The trees. Yes. You know, like, because for a city, you don't... Atlanta, if you've never been to Atlanta, of course, listeners... A city mostly doesn't have trees, but you come to Atlanta.
I think we have the most trees of any city in America.
It's beautiful. You get to see the trees fall, change color in the city, and you add that on top of everything. It's just like...
Well, you actually like, you know, in Louisiana, shout out Louisiana, you don't really get seasons. It's either just hot or cold, and it might not even get cold or like that cold.
Right.
I remember that was one year in Louisiana where I just like in New Orleans, I just didn't wear a jacket. It's just like, I was like, Jesus, I didn't need a jacket this whole winter. Yeah. Dude, New Orleans is wild. They're like trying to basically impeach their mayor right now.
Oh, wow.
She's a moron.
I saw that 5 days. Speaking of New Orleans, that show, 5 days on Paramount Plus, we're just talking about, was about the hospital in New Orleans.
5 days in Memorial. I can't watch shit like that.
I wouldn't. I'm like, how can anybody watch this? It's depressing.
Yesterday actually was the 17th anniversary of Katrina, and last year was Ida on the same fucking day, and people were out of power for a month. But yeah, I just...
Yeah.
It's depressing as fuck.
Yeah, I don't
want to
watch that, yeah.
And like, I know people who fucking like lost people, and you know, especially, you know, in Atlanta, there's a lot of New Orleanians who live here.
Because of that same...
Like, yeah, they're like, I just never went back. I just left everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think we need to quit 9/11, New Orleans.
It's like making movies about stuff like
Katrina,
that, right?
Or Katrina. It's like,
yeah.
Let that shit breathe.
Right. Seriously.
It's just, I get
and
it.
And it's sad.
It's sad
it's
as
fucking
fuck.
Sad. There's no happy part about them. You can't, like, literally in public health, I did a report on it. It's like, documented about what happened in that hospital. There was like moral and ethic things going on.
It's
that,
like triage probably where it's like, okay, that person's probably gonna have to die because we only have enough for this person. You know,
it's like, who wants to watch that?
Bummer.
Yeah,
big bummer alert.
Take it off Paramount, get it out of there.
I do like the actress though, because she was in the Departed.
She was also in Bates Motel.
Yeah, she's kind of did her horror thing. Mm-hmm. She was in, what was that fucking...
The scary movie you're talking about.
Rosemary, what was it?
It was
the
one where,
not Rosemary's Baby.
But Rosemary Baby is fire, though.
Yeah, but they were like...
don't worry, I got you, don't worry.
What was
I have
this
it.
Bitch?
She was, yeah. Don't worry, I got
Come
you.
Come on.
I'm going to get it before you
it
get
starts
it.
With a C.
I know.
Shiza.
Conjuring,
you...
Got it. Yeah, and that was pretty good too.
The Conjuring was fire.
She was in The Departed, The Conjuring, The Bates Motel. You're right. She went through her spree of horror. The Orphan. She was in that. The Nun. She was in like all horror. And she's pretty attractive too. I ain't gonna put that out there.
Yeah.
She's pretty fine.
Oh yeah. In The Departed?
Yeah,
when she's banging both guys.
At the same time? I know.
Matt Damon and Leo at the same damn time.
Talk about a conflict of interest.
Who would you choose? I don't know. Oh, wait, did you see Bad Bunny made out with a dude?
Yeah.
I think that's so funny that, like, now, like, as a celebrity, you have to, like, be gay. Like, everything's just gay, which is fine. I love gay people. Love them. Probably my favorite people. But I think they're the funniest people on the planet. But, like...
Did you just say celebrities are the most funniest people on the planet?
No.
Yeah.
No. There's fucking hilarious normal people walking around.
Well, I'm saying there's, I mean, with that much money, celebrities, they have some weird things going on. So,
well, celebrities are like goofy. They're just trying to please us, you know?
I don't know, they ain't pleasing me. Don't gotta worry about pleasing me.
No, but they're constituents. They're, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, it's kind of like Iggy Azalea and, what was that girl? Goddamn, Call Me Maybe, mm-hmm. Carly Rae Jepsen. Mm-hmm. Both of those artists are still relevant because they pander to the LGBTQ plus YRL, mm-hmm. HTML 3.0 audience. And they have a huge audience. And so they, you know, they pander to them and it works. And it's like, that's what all these artists are doing. Harry Styles, they call it like queer baiting. It's like you do a couple little gay things here and there, and then that audience loves it and they're loyal as fuck. And so it's like they keep you alive, more money. Like Bad Bunny, it's like, you want to impress me? You got to blow a guy. Release a sex tape. Then I'll be impressed. But just making out with a guy on stage, that does nothing for me. I'm sorry, Bad Bunny. I'm not going to bunga him, because bunga and Bad Bunny is a bunga on myself, because that guy is hotter than fish grease right now. Mm-hmm. But this making out thing, it's a reference to Britney Spears, and remember Britney made out with Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was.
Yeah,
and the guy was kind of weird looking that he kissed. I wasn't feeling it. Just letting y'all know. Also, Jack Harlow won a bunch of awards.
I'm
referencing bait. The MTV, the VMAs. Or VMAs some
been
shit.
Dead since like 2013 or something.
No, it's back though.
Well, yes, yeah, so you say it's back. I don't think it's back.
It's back. I mean, the youngins with the youngins. It's almost. It has relevancy.
I guess so. To people, I guess, who think it's relevant.
Young people.
Yeah, I guess so.
The youngins, they gotta have an award show too. Mm-hmm. You know, we all need them. Anyway,
let go.
Yeah, I guess that's it. What? Oh,
Hold on. Did you hear about all the celebrities celebrity break-ins in Atlanta?
Yeah, and they got like 10 dudes.
No, I got it right here. On Monday 26th, 26 alleged gang members of Drug Rich Gang.
Yes, yes.
Were indicted on criminal charges related to home invasions. And some of these homes have to deal with celebrities such as Mariah Carey, Marlo Hampton from The Real Housewives.
Calvin Ridley was one, right?
Calvin Ridley and Brad Guzman.
The goalie for Atlanta United.
Yeah. And the Fulton department, I guess whatever lead detective saying, it's mainly happened because they're gloating on IG. So they're like, yeah, this is my, you know, where I put this, you know, here's my.
Oh, the celebrities.
You know, like, you know, posting like, you
Isn't that how they got Pop Smoke?
Yeah, so it's like. They know where these things are at when they're going into the home invasions and shit. So they're like, they know where everything is at. Like, cause they're posting things on everybody posts on IG, like what they do, you know, like especially celebs.
Yeah. But I was also seeing that IG, have you seen that thing with the precise location? Mm-hmm. Do you do that? Mm-hmm.
Everybody took it does off. It. Yeah.
But, and then I realized like every app uses it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck. Mm-hmm. But maybe that was a part of it.
But still like that's, you know, Atlanta, bro, is always something.
Oh, yeah.
Rich people, you ain't safe either.
I know Mariah Carey lives out here, though.
Rich people, you ain't safe either. I mean, Ben Affleck has a house out here, too.
I feel, who?
Ben Affleck.
Oh, did you see the leaked footage of J-Lo's
wedding
performing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She performed a song with backup dancers to Ben Affleck. That just explains everything to me about Jennifer Lopez and why it's all a performance. It's about her. It's insane. I mean, bless her heart.
Welcome to Atlanta. If you're a celebrity, watch out. Don't post out here. They get you.
Well, yes.
Don't matter who you are.
It seems like you need a house in Atlanta now if you're a celebrity. Sorry.
Yeah.
My jowls.
A slur.
Or be jowling.
He's double cupping over here.
It seems like, yeah, you need a crib out here. Mm-hmm. You could almost have a talk show out here.
It was popping, bro. Atlanta's the new fucking LA.
LA, dog. Yeah. It's getting
it
there.
It is what it is.
Less homeless people in tents, even though there is, sadly, like a homeless couple that lives like a block away in a tent. And they like straight live there. They like go to work and shit. Like, it's crazy. They have like the rental bikes outside of their little tent. And like everybody just leaves them be, which is fine. Like, but it's just weird. Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's so sad. Maybe we should start a GoFundMe for them. I don't fucking know. Dana has a show recommend it. Have you finished it, Mo, on Netflix?
I have 2 episodes left. So I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but the show is sick. It's on Netflix.
Mo.
It's based out of Houston. And the guy, Mo, is a comedian. He also has a stand-up on Netflix at the same time. So if you want to get a brief synopsis of his, like, comedic act, you can, I guess you can go there. I've saw it too. He's a Palestinian. He's pretty funny. This is coming from an article published by Kira, and it was written by Michael Marks and Gabriel. So the character is Mo. He actually plays his real name, and he has a lot going on. His family immigrated from the Palestine during the Gulf War in 1991, and he doesn't have papers. So it pretty much shows a highlight of his episodes and day to day and how his life is very intricate, you know, and a lot goes on. And just imagine, like, if you don't have papers and you're an immigrant and you're always ducking ISIS, so you can never get a job, you're always getting fired, you know. So it talks about Houston. It features Houston artists a lot and the background music, like Paul Wall, Chamillionaire. And it has a comedian flow, of course, to the show. And it's very funny. The cast of the show is lit and has very funny supporting actors, like his girlfriend Maria, who is Mexican and he's Palestinian. So their relationship's funny because he wants to convert her to being Islamic and she's a Catholic, of course, because she's Mexican. So it's funny how they both interact. He's like, why don't you just wear a hijab? You know, whatever. Come on, just get with it. And he was like, you know, nuns were the originals of it. Come on now. He's like, and it's funny. Like, it's just, and his best friend is Toby, who plays Nick.
Toby.
Yeah, I don't want to say his name because it's an African name and I don't want to disrespect his name, but his best friend in the show, his dad gets locked up and Mo's dad died on the same day. So they have this special connection.
Damn, trauma.
Yeah. So the show is like, it shows how, like, the immigration process makes it very difficult for him to, you know, do things that are above the board because he doesn't have work permits. So, like, Amber, which is his girlfriend, you know, is, or not Amber, but this person who's like a Palestinian lawyer who has like 200 clients. He's trying to like get, he calls her all the time. She never answers his phone call. So he like shows up at her spot one of these days. He's like, oh, hey, Habib. And she's like, I'm not Habib. I'm not a Mexican. You know, she's always, you're my favorite.
Habib? Client.
Yeah, it's like, he's always her favorite. He's like, you got the wrong person, you know. And so you learn that Palestinians stick together. They believe in family. So he's always want to go through Palestinian anything. Like, and so they feature a lot of Palestinian culture from olive oil to the bread. So it's very, you learn a lot. And it's in Houston. So, you know, he's like really good at selling things. So he's like selling bootleg stuff out of his trunk because that's the only job.
When does it take place? Now?
Yeah, it's like now. Okay. Like now. Like he grew, came, like I said, in 1991. Okay. I'm not going to give a lot over, but you know. So it just, it picks up. It gives culture, Houston culture. It gives Palestinian culture. So I think that in a combination with the supporting cast, Rotten Tomatoes agrees with me. It's 100%. And IMDb gives it a 7.3.
God damn.
I have 2 episodes left.
We're not gonna
swipe
I'm
giving it.
Oh, you're swiping.
Oh, yeah, ahead. Oh, no, I'm done. This, like, I already know.
What if the
already,
last it's two one of those episodes. Stinkers. What if the last 2 episodes are stinkers?
I'll hold it for next week. But I'm on the teeter edge of giving this thing 3 power swipes for a series. Because it's like, I love cultural series. I'm not trying to compare it to Aquafina, but
it's kind of a thing
like,
that's
it's
happening.
It's like Aquafina, ATL, and now this dude has Mo.
Well, no,
which
but
is,
they also have that show. It's called like maybe like Ari or Rami.
Yeah,
Rami,
something like that.
And that's like a Muslim dude in New York.
Mm-hmm. So
it seems to be a formula.
And those are South Koreans are doing their own type of things, you know. So
the shop.
Yeah.
What the fuck? No, and it's a good thing. It's fucking
no, it's
great.
Definitely good. That's why I'm saying I like the show so much because it's giving you from a Palestinian point of view and not having papers. So they could have done a Mexican show, but ISIS is out here. They push
but
everybody
like,
around.
Mexicans,
you know, but,
and ever since John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo, Zamo, whatever. Ever since he fucking went off about the James Franco being Fidel Castro thing, he's so right about Latinos, man. I don't know what it is. But like, media don't be fucking with Latinos. They fuck with everyone else. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. You know, I really don't get it. I mean, I do like that Wednesday Addams. We're going to briefly kind of talk about that girl. She's Latina, and I don't know why they casted Gomez with the guy they cast. It's the homie from Carlitos Way and all that other stuff. But Latinos don't get it, though. You see it with Koreans, you see it with Muslims and all this shit. And then, I don't know, where's the Mexican shows at?
So the guy that his best friend is the rapper named Toby. I can't say his name, but he's a rapper. That's it. I think he's part of Earth Gang, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, sick.
If I'm not mistaken, I think so. But that's his best friend that plays. Like I said, the supporting cast for Mo, no lie, is some of probably the best supporting casts I've seen in a series in a very long time.
Okay, fuck
and yeah. It pulls you in right away, like I said, because culturally, I love shows that appropriately put the right culture and the people in the right spot.
Yeah.
So, like you said, Mexicans, they're actually featured, and his girlfriend's Mexican, so you get to learn like a little bit about that,
Houston's
too.
Houston's so Latino.
Right. I mean, and, like, who knew that Palestinians had a big culture inside Houston? I didn't know that. And it shows you that, too.
I know
it shows you their infatuation with olive oil. I didn't know that Palestinians were that big into. He carries his own bottle of olive oil from the motherland, from Palestinian, from Jerusalem. That's how particular they are about their olive oil. They make it that serious over there. So it's a lot into this. I'm dead ass. There's a lot of material into 23 to 25 minutes of this episode.
Yeah.
And it's like, it brings you into funny to like surreal. Like, yo, I mean, he gets, I'm like going to give a tease, little tease. In one episode, this dude gets like buying special dog food for his cat, for his brother's cat. Goes into the store, ends up getting shot in the arm.
Ow.
He wakes up, he's on the ambulance like, oh, what the fuck? Like, oh, yeah. And he's like, they're like, I'm going to take you to the hospital. He's like, and the ambulance people are arguing about, is it a mass shooting? Because they're like, no, it was three people. He's like, well, technically, this guy's not alive. He's still alive. So it's three, not four. So not a mass shooting. He's like, yo, I'm refusing service. I'm paying money to go to no damn hospital. Because it doesn't have papers. So it shows you the struggle.
Ooh.
That's why he refused service. He goes home and he's like, you know.
As a bullet wound?
The scar, it grazed him.
Yeah.
And he had to go to his homeboy who's at the tattoo shop and get like three cups of syrup. Like, it's Houston.
Some lean.
It's Houston. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So like, he's going through a struggle. Yeah. He can't get a job.
Yeah.
Wait, no. He literally gets shot in the arm. He can't say anything because he can't go to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And he provides money for his family. He's the breadwinner. So he's out here trying to hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, yo, you appreciate what immigrants go through at the same time. Like, they came over during the Gulf War, and that was in 1991. My dad was over there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so it's a good series. It's lit. So I advise.
Your dad was also in the military?
Mm-hmm. This is a stop and watch right away. Like, it's not going to take that much time for you to breeze through this. Like I said, I watched pretty majority of the first season.
No, in I'm one in on day, it. It sounds dope.
And he's a comedian. He also has a show on Netflix, so he has a special. You can watch that on top of that. So it's just crazy because, yo, I mean, I'm not a Muslim, but I love like some of the things they, you know, I'm a Christian. I had tattoos all over me. My dad can't stand that, you know.
And, you just got a big back piece.
and this, Muslims are the same way. They're part of Muslim religion. You don't deframe your body. And he has a tattoo and his mom,
Jews too.
The bullet grazes him. So he's like, his mom's like, what happened? He looks up and then he has a tattoo. His mom's pissed. Right. But he's like, you don't even know. Yeah, exactly. Right. But it's his dad. And so it's an emotional scene, you know? So it's like, bam. So at that point she's like, they start getting emotional because it's like, he's tied between being a real Palestinian Muslim and he reps it. He takes it to heart.
Yeah.
Like, he really loves being a Palestinian. Like, his girl's talking about something, and right before they make it out, he's like, I can't do it now. Like, I'm thinking about my ancestors and fucking, you know? So it's like, she says something that triggers like that he does, that's part of his religion. And he's like, I can't even do it now. So it's just cool things. His girlfriend's Mexican, his best friend's Black. He's Palestinian. His best friend's dad went to jail. His dad is dead. You don't know why, but I'm not going to tell you why. So it's a lot.
All right.
It's good.
I'm
good,
in.
Man. It's good. I'm here for y'all. I do this for y'all, the listeners. I do this for y'all.
He does it for us. Damn, you lit right now. My guy's lit on a powerful review.
It was good.
Next up, we got Loot, Apple TV. I would consider this a banger. It's a banger.
Who's your favorite?
On the show?
Mm-hmm.
I think his name's Joel Kim Booster.
I got the cast right here, so I'm looking at
the Asian
The Asian guy, Kim Booster, who plays Nicholas.
I just think he is a star. I think 100%.
Damn, I was hoping you wouldn't pick him because that's who I picked too.
Yeah, I mean, he just
He kills it.
It's something about him, and he gets an episode that I think it made me very sad.
We can't go over it, I guess, because we don't want to spoil shit.
The one though that is focused on him
and where he does the
play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting sad just thinking about it. It was sad.
Yeah, I hated that. I hated that she did that, too.
I know.
I was so pissed.
But that's a good show.
And it pulls you back.
Because that's some real shit.
Yeah.
Because rich people...
They really... That's what I'm... You're right. That's why I was like, yo, rich people are like this.
Because in the end, you know, like, she's a billionaire, and they are, like, salary workers, you know? And that's why I like the show, because this show isn't just a comedy. You know, it's honestly not that funny. Man, but Maya Rudolph, though.
She makes it funny.
She's just on a different level.
She's on...
Her cousin Ron Funch's character. I love that
scene. Oh my gosh, I love that scene when they go to their aunt's house and black family. Because that's how black families are, bro. Like, it's like, you don't got to be rich to capture that in black families. Like, you know, you make it out the hood and don't, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And don't come back to show love. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and then you use your money
to
try to, like, you know, connect. And that actress, she's been in a ton of shit.
Oh, yeah, Sister. I mean, my goodness. She's like an iconic black actress.
Was she the mom
actress.
And Sister?
Let me look her up. Just keep talking about the show, though.
So, Loot, it's basically based on, like, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, who basically got half of his fortune when she divorced him. And also, Amazon stock was really high at that point. And Maya Rudolph is basically in a similar situation. And she realizes she has all this money, and she's living an empty life, and she wants to do something purposeful. So she starts getting involved with one of her nonprofits. And by doing that, you know, she meets these people and her cousin, like, and who are normal. And it's basically like a workplace comedy. It's great. The thing that's crazy to me is the budget. I don't know if it's sustainable.
Like, oh my God, they spent so much
Apple
money. Remember the airport scene?
Yes.
I was like, when they pulled it back, I was like,
no, that was green screen. That was a green screen.
Doesn't matter. I'm just saying the point that they're that.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for meeting me, half.
Yeah.
What?
No, but like the vineyard with the horse and all that.
Yeah.
Like, that shit was awesome.
Yeah. What episode was that when they went to their cousin's house? Like, him and the.
Probably episode 7 or 6.
All right.
But the budget, it just doesn't seem sustainable. Because, like, I think it's a great show, but I don't know if it's good enough to, I don't know, that budget has to be fucking through the roof.
Yeah, they was balling, bro.
But I'm so happy for Maya Rudolph getting her own show.
Yes, she deserves it, bro.
She's the shit.
She's a hell of an actress.
And then
hell of an actress.
Runner-up favorite person on the show, I mean, not counting Maya Rudolph at all, but MJ Rodriguez is awesome.
No, she does a good job, too. You fall in love with her character.
Yeah, I think she needed more shine, though. A little bit more shine. Like, I felt like her character could have used a love interest or could have used a little more. I don't think she was utilized.
I don't know. I think she was. I think the camaraderie they had that them two had. And you got to see a little bit of her in that last episode where they
yeah.
They were like, I'm going to be late. I thought that was fire. Like, and like you said, that dude Nicholas, his establishment with every character.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like amazing. He was cool with everybody and established an emotional connection with everybody. And like, so I thought that was cool.
Who else was in it? Yeah, no, that, I just
so
I
mean, Jackie Harry, that's her real name. Her Jacqueline Yvonne Harris. That's her whole actress name. She was in Sister. She was the mom.
Yes.
She plays the cousin of Maya Rudolph in episode 7, where they go back
and they have and their relationship is estranged. Yeah, basically.
She was also in Tien Tamara, 227. She was an iconic. She still is. Let me not say was. Still is.
I love that there's so many shows.
And so was the dude.
Because, I mean, look, Martin's girl, Gina. I mean, she was in Uncoupled.
Uncoupled, making a comeback.
I like that there's so many shows now that people are able to kind of, you know, get their shine back, mm-hmm. which is nice. Yeah. How would you rate this show?
I'd probably give it 2 powers.
Yeah, I'm about there. I'm going to give it 3 just because I really liked it. Because
it had predictability in there that, yeah. I mean... Yeah.
For me, it I'm a little biased because I like Maya Rudolph mm-hmm. that much, you know? And I just want... It was kind of like... I'm not comparing it to Cowboy Bebop, but I wanted Cowboy Bebop to be good. Mm-hmm. And so I just watched it, even though it was a piece of trash. I kept coming back. So it's kind of... It's not on that. I actually think it's good, but just because I want Maya Rudolph to win, I... was like, you know, about it. So
right.
I'm gonna give it 3.
That's what's up.
It's a little bit of a bias review though. I just hope it gets another season. I don't know if it will.
Yeah. Kinda up in the air. I don't think it will though. I hope it does.
It's just the money thing. Yeah. I don't know if it makes sense. Another show that I don't know if it's gonna get another season is The Rehearsal. Finish The Rehearsal. Nathan Fielder's new project, you might know him for Nathan For You. This show, which I actually think the process works, as insane as it is, this man finds people who are going through things and have big moments in their life, and he helps them rehearse it before they go and actually do that big thing. But it kind of snowballs into like something completely different and grows into like it's this meta monster that keeps folding in on itself. And it makes you question everything that's happening in this show. It's absurd. It's reality TV. It's cringy, uncomfortable. And I think it's one of the smartest shows I've ever seen. I've never seen more thought put into a show before. It's very hard to explain, but I don't know if they'll be able to do another season because it's the kind of thing where it's like it worked because it was like I don't think anything like it has ever been done. Mm-hmm. And now if you do another season, it'll just be like people will know. You know,
it's only 6 episodes.
Yeah, it's 6 episodes. I think the problem is with the show is that it kind of loses its way halfway through. And you could tell he's like, all right, I got to find a story. Like, I got to make a story out of this. But I highly recommend this show. But it is fucking weird. It's fucking weird. I don't know if it's
not
for
as
everybody.
High as Mo, but it has a 94%. Mo had 100% on Rotten.
I mean, I think it's genius. I think at certain points, it was very emotional, especially mm-hmm. towards the end. There's some really heavy shit.
It does have a higher IMDb score, though, than Mo.
Okay, I like that.
8.9.
Well, that's like, I think this show, like, I think he's might be a little evil, this guy, Nathan Fielder, because mm-hmm. the way he fucks with people. Mm-hmm. And he does some kind of unethical things at times with religion.
It's crazy because he's written and directed by Home Dude.
No, he's like,
did everything.
This guy is, bro. I don't like to use the term genius, but I think this guy, his
might
IQ
level. Might be the
next level.
Duplass brother, Mark Duplass.
Maybe. I don't know who to compare him to. Because
Mark Duplass writes and acts. He's good. Mark Duplass is that man.
To me, he's more like...
He's that dude.
He's more like Sacha Baron Cohen. You know, like Ali G, Borat.
Mark Duplass?
No.
Oh,
Nathan Fielder.
Okay. I was like, whoa. That was,
no.
Like, that's what
no. Mark Duplass is more like narrative story, you know,
he
movies.
He did The Wolf. He did League. The dude is multiverse. He's done written tons of things. Like,
yeah, but this guy, Nathan, does like reality mm-hmm, TV. You know, mm-hmm. it's like basically camera on these people and they have no idea what's going on. You know, like he's in control. I think sometimes even the camera people don't know what he's doing, you know. You'd have to see it, like the level of
pre-production. There's gonna be a second season.
There is?
Yeah, they announced it already, starring. Said it has been renewed for a second season.
Hell fucking yes.
So that was on August 22nd. That was 4 days ago. Like, you know,
almost like, oh, okay. Six, hell yeah. Ago. That's beautiful news. I wonder if Loot is going to get it then. They might.
They're both HBO shows, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Not Loot. Apple TV.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Apple, yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to give it three swipes, another three swiper. But this show's not for everybody. You might hate it. You know, it's fucking weird. I normally don't like shows like Impractical Jokers and shit. Like, I hate that shit where you just like are playing with people's heads and it's on camera. It just makes me so fucking uncomfortable. But there's so many weird things happening in this show. It's kind of hard not to look away, or it's hard not to look, or whatever. Check it out. The Rehearsal. I highly recommend it. But I also don't think it's very long. It's a weird one. Next up, we have Terminalist. I've seen one episode of this. Dana has finished it.
Yeah.
What do you think, sir?
I'm going to give it a... I'm just going to go swipe straight up. Man, straight I don't want to be... Man, I'm going to go... I said three power earlier before the show, but I'm going to go two power, which is still highly good. I wish I could do 2.5, but I can't. The plot, there's so many permutations of it. The acting, hella good. Chris Pratt, I don't even recognize this dude, but that's how good he is. I'm like, who is this dude? He's like...
A hard ass.
The role that he's in is nothing that he's ever done. And you know how much I love versatility from actors, and he did it.
Well, no, like, he did do this in, what was that? Remember Zero Dark Thirty?
I didn't watch Zero Dark Thirty, so I can't compare
it. Oh, you should check it out. That's basically what got him into these. He plays a Navy SEAL guy who goes and kills Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. And that was like, whoa, who's this motherfucker?
Well, things that I can compare it to the things that I have seen, which kind of remind me of Minority Report.
Really? The future movie?
Not the future movie. I'm talking about Bourne Identity.
Okay.
And it has like, there's another movie it reminds me of, but I can't think off the tip of my tongue. It's just that Chris Pratt's role is phenomenal. Like, he keeps his humor, but at the same time embodies a Navy SEAL. And each episode is very different. They're not alike. There's so many things going on that it's like you're confused.
Yeah.
And you're picking out which, oh, I believe that's that or this is that. It has you on like a mind fuck because you think you know what's going on, but you don't know what's going on. And those are the best type of series. Yeah, this one is like a 53 to 54 minute, but I guarantee you will not be disappointed with Chris Pratt's role. You won't be disappointed in Taylor Kitsch's role, who plays Ben Edwards, James Reese's best friend, who's Chris Pratt, who plays James Reese. I mean, it's just, it's in depth. It's got everything. It's got CIA, it's got SEALs, it's got deep plot. It's got everything that make anybody that's just deep into like, and you can be military, I guess, if you're like guns and stuff like that, yeah, the scenes are cool, but the acting's very important because you get a lot of these series that are like this, like 24, you get kind of lost. I'm like, yo, it's just a lot of gunplay, but this is like acting, and it shows you like some of the things Navy SEAL go through, these type of people, what their mentality's like. It's just, it's tight, man. It's a lot going on, and it's fire. It's fire. IMDb gives it 8, which it agrees with me. I'm going to give it, like I said, 2 power swipes. There's only certain things that I gave it.
IMDb gives it an 8. Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes gives it 39%.
Well, I think it's one of those things where either you like military or you don't. That's weird. You know, like, I agree. Because it's like, not everybody likes Black Hawk Down or Zero Dark Thirty. Or it's not one of, it's like, well, it's not Black supposed Hawk to.
Black Hawk Down, though, is a fucking badass movie.
Well,
though,
you know, I'm just saying, some people don't like military movies or don't so I can see why it gets a 30. Exactly. Like, so I can see why it could be a 39. Yeah. But for people who look past that's like, oh, okay, it's just not just a military movie. It's got more to it. Yeah. That's why And we even said this on the pod. We go with IMDb because that's one of the strictest out of like Rotten Tomato. Yeah. Like they're really going to judge your shit. So for people that are into like watching real deep, mind-blowing conspiracy theorist type things, you're going to love this.
Yeah.
Because stuff like this, Tuskegee Airmen, Ancient Orange, those are all real incidents that happened that were approved by government. And this shines a highlight on things that you're like, you were like, yo, what that could be like, conceived about this. Like, no, this can happen. It has happened. So it's like one of those things where, oh, it's like, oh, it's not a fabric. This could never. No.
His name's Jack Carr. Tremulous. I think it's based on a book.
No, it is a novel. This, yeah, the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, what is it? Siphon Filter and all that stuff. What was that guy's name? But yeah, it's like one of those espionage or like Patriot games and stuff like that.
The military, it goes to show you that when you work for somebody, you're under their rules, their guidelines.
Tom Clancy is what you know, I'm thinking
of. When we go to work, we can leave our job. We can quit if we're not happy with it. When you sign up for the military, that's you forfeit some things. And you might be testing things that they say could be this, but you, it's not that. You've like heard of blind studies and double blind studies in public health.
Yeah.
That means where the blind studies is where the participants don't know what they're taking. The double blind doesn't mean the participants and the doctors don't know what they're getting. So it's a double blind study. So these type of studies that are happening inside, like what the terminalist highlights, like.
Okay, because I watched the first episode and I did not.
Oh, it's deep. Yeah. Oh, bro, you're not even going to.
That's why I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
So in order to even get on my level with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got to watch it. Okay, Jack Carr is the author of The Terminalist, the book, and he also has his own podcast called Danger Close Podcast. He was a Navy SEAL, and now he's a number one New York Times bestseller.
It's exactly like Snowden. Like, shit is real. Like shit is real,
whistleblower
y'all.
Shit
is real, y'all.
Okay.
The military will do shit and say it's for the free, for
but
the protected
people.
But this
isn't real, like, though, right?
No, yeah. But incidents have happened like this. That's why I said Tuskegee Airmen. That's why I said Ancient Orange.
COVID-19.
You know what I'm saying? Like, shit has happened already, and the military has authorized it just for the fact of protecting human civility and rights in the name of that. You know, what will they sacrifice to say, we'll do this, we'll test this for this?
Yeah.
Just come on, man.
All right.
I love it. It's good. It's good stuff.
So, and you gave it Power 2, right?
Yeah. Oh, you know what it's like? Smoking Aces. That's what the plot's like. The plot.
Oh,
the plot. Because you're like, what the? He did that to do that? What? Okay. No way. Yeah. Right? When I saw Smoking Aces at first, I was like, all right, man, I don't know if I'm feeling this. And then when you realize who he is, I'm not going to give it away. I mean, you want to give it away. Yeah. Fuck it. Everybody should have seen Smoking Aces. The FBI agent that was the old man was the FBI agent who went into deep cover and was actually the mob guy who killed the mob guy and just started pretending the mob guy. So it's like, yo, psycho under psychos. Like, yo, it's lit.
It's lit. Okay.
It's a schism under a schism under a schism. If you know it, if you watch The League, you know what that's from.
I need to. And speaking of that, I got my fancy draft tonight. Mad nervous. Okay, Terminalist. Yeah. I will watch, especially when I am done with this mega research project I'm going through right now, which is Better Call Saul. I am almost done. I was trying to finish it, but it's just season 6 has 12 episodes. I'm on episode 7 of season 6. I've spent the past month, ladies and gentlemen, for you. I wasn't doing this for me. I was hammering through Better Call Saul just to be up with all the hype because it is finally done. Bob Odenkirk has retired the character. Vince Gilligan has retired the universe, which is the the Breaking Bad universe. AMC has a big void to fill, but I'm almost done with it. Highly recommend it. I think this, I'm not going to swipe it up till I finish, but from what I've seen, it's incredible. I think if you are going into screenwriting, storytelling, this show is the standard. I think, you know, Vince Gilligan is one of the best TV writers there is and probably has ever been. The man is the king of the cold open. I mean, you know, those first 7 minutes of every episode always have some crazy significance. Yes, it is formulaic, but he knows how to masterfully use the formulas of, you know, storytelling. You know, he is just, he'll write a character into the hole and he's really good at writing them out. So far, I think it's great. I just don't know. My thing is prequels almost always fall short. I just, you know, like, because you know what happens, you know? You know that, you know, Gus Fring is in it. You know, Tuco's in it. You know, you see these characters. You know, Mike is in it. And, I mean, spoiler alert, these people are not going to die because it's a prequel. They're in Breaking Bad. So it's like, that's my only issue, is that some of the stakes are taken away when you have a prequel. And we have prequels galore. And not, they're not, like, I think that's why Game of Thrones is 200 years in the past. Because you don't really know, you know how Rhaegar Targaryen dies, but you don't know how his dad dies, you know? So, or does he die? Who knows? But check it out. Better Call Saul's fucking great. Buckle up. The first two seasons are kind of rough.
Thanks for putting that out there.
100% they're rough.
Just be honest with the fans. You know what I mean?
You well,
know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
The thing is the show's been on air for probably, I mean, it's 8 years. And TV has changed a lot in 8 years. So you see the technology get better. You see the camera, like the high definition cameras get better, you know, and you see improvements in everything all around. And the other thing too is like, it takes place in Albuquerque, and I think they cast and it takes place like in the late 90s. They cast and what else? They dress these people, I think, to look like people from Albuquerque. So everybody's kind of like a little ugly. Everybody has bad taste, you know? I just think Albuquerque is probably a shithole. You know, sorry, no disrespect to our Albuquerque listeners, but it is presented as a shithole. But man, Saul Goodman is a fucking incredible character. He just can't do right. He just can't do right, but you love him, you know? Similar to Heisenberg. And then Kim Wexler, his boo-thang, another amazing character as well. And then Mike, come on, Mike's that guy, the cleaner. So check it out. I'll be done next week. I'll swipe it up. Me time. My dad was like, I don't even know about this movie.
Yeah, it's one of those ones you put on and you
he
just
did
let
tell
happen.
Me to watch Terminal List though.
Yeah, this is the one you just put on while you're doing laundry.
Yeah,
washing dishes.
We
just
need
it,
those.
Just
though.
Let it. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's why you watch it. Yeah, it's like we said, Netflix is putting out high quality movies shot that should be released in theaters. So if you have time to watch something like this, why not? You know, like.
You yeah, know? But would you go? You
oh
don't
no,
go
no,
to
no,
movies,
no, no,
but,
no,
like,
no,
do you
no, no.
Think
I wouldn't
people
go see,
would
this.
Go to the movies
no, not
to
for
see this.
This. No, no.
Will Kevin Hart ever be in the theaters again?
I don't, that's a good 3? Question. I don't know, because, yeah, that's a real good question.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I would just listen to a podcast with Judd Apatow, who I think is a very boring, even though he's like works in comedy. Man, that guy's boring. Mm-hmm. But he was saying the same thing about comedies, and it's just like, man, I miss watching comedies in theaters. Like, I remember watching 40-Year-Old Virgin at the
good.
Movies,
yeah.
And it was everybody was rolling, and like you get the full crowd experience.
Yeah, Rotten Tomato gives it an 8% me time.
Yeah,
IMDb gives it 5. So it's like I said, the ratings speak for itself. Google 2.2.
Wait, you what? Did you say 8%?
Yeah, you had to take a little. Yeah, Rotten says 8.
8%?
8%.
Kevin Hart, man, like
8%. It's 7% tomato meter and 29% audience score.
And you know, he did True Story about a year ago. That show was pretty good, you know. But this 8%,
yeah.
But also like Mark Wahlberg.
Oh gosh, I mean the cast—they have Seal, which is pretty cool. Actually, let me go ahead and take this back. The supporting cast in this, shout out to the Uber driver, Thelma, who plays Thelma in this. Her name is, gosh, I don't want to pronounce this wrong. Ilya Paulinho. That's her name. She plays the Uber driver. They also have John Amos from Good Times. Shout out to John Amos. They also have Seal, Regina Hall, who all play good parts in this movie. Andrew Santino, who is also in Little Dickie and been episodes in The League, who plays Alan, who plays Seal. Kevin Hart's best friend. And so the supporting cast
Little
for this.
Little Dickie's in it?
No, I said one of the actors okay. that is in Little Dickie is in this.
Gator was in Loot. Remember Gator?
Yeah, yeah. I moved my wife. We're like, that Gator? We were like, yeah, that's Gator. That was so weird.
You gonna drink that?
Yeah, she did. It was so gross. But the supporting cast in this is fire. Like, Kabar, who plays Taji Mori in there. I'm sorry. He plays Kabar in the movie. Paulinho in the movie. The girl is the Uber. She's hilarious. You know how sometimes like these big movies will have these random actors and you're like, yeah, where do they find these sub actors? They're actually funnier than the whole movie. And so the Uber driver is funnier than mostly everybody in the whole movie.
Yeah. Was Kevin Hart, did he make you laugh at all?
Yeah, of course. He does Kevin Hart things, but you cannot help to laugh. He stole his Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg goes overboard on his role and it's kind of like not good. It's just Mark Wahlberg's, I feel like, is just coming towards, like, I hate. And it's sand sad because, like, you sound cool. Say that again. Yeah.
End of the road.
Yeah, man, that sounded bad.
I need some water.
Yeah, drink something. Yeah, he's coming to the end of the. Although we've gone to the end of the road. That's Mark Wahlberg right now.
Yeah, just go into producing or stick with it.
It just wasn't that good at it in this at all. And it highlighted it too. It was almost like he should have seen it and been like, yeah, we shouldn't put this out.
So is this next?
Oh, this is definitely like next. Like, get it. Yeah, get out of here.
Next.
Like I said, it's something you put on while you're like doing laundry, washing dishes or something like that. You know, nothing to like, I need to sit down and have some popcorn with the fam or the girl or nah. But it was cool to see Seal.
Well, Seal's kind of made a joke of himself because wasn't he in Zoolander 2 as well?
I think so.
He gets like attacked by dogs. Mm-hmm. I feel like he just kind of like is making his bread off of like cameos.
Cameos.
And just getting like people just stealing on him, basically. Poor guy. Hey, all right, moving on with that. Give me some ganja. Not going to watch that one.
No, don't watch that one. I was just doing homework and had something on, and you know, background.
So you also finished the critically acclaimed series, How to Build a Sex Room.
Yeah.
How did it end?
The second to last, or the last episode was trash. Because they tie in two episodes in the same one. So it was this barn lady, these couple that lived on a barn.
That could get freaky. A little bestiality.
It was just. But the last episode, like I said, they tie two houses into one, but the last one were these two couple, female, and they were living out of a Sprinter. You know, one's like a musician, and the other does like something, I forgot. Anyway, their lifestyle is out of a Sprinter, which, you know, some people travel, have relationships, they travel all over, like that.
Especially like rock climbers.
Exactly, so like they live in a Sprinter, so it's hard for them to have sex inside of a Sprinter. So what happens? She comes through and hooks them up. And I'm like, that's why I like this show, because like most people are thinking it's sex. Oh, it's going to be about sex. But like I said, it's more than that. It's like relationship.
Yeah.
You know, she's like helped fix some of these people's relationships.
Yeah.
She's like literally like a cry. Sex therapist. Yeah. You know, and some people, as you get older and you have kids, I don't have any, so I don't have this problem. You don't have time or have the space.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and you are some people just lose sex. You've been married forever and it's just not the same.
Your libido is down.
Yeah. It's like, what can you do?
You got to take that blue pill.
Right. So, I mean, it ended on a good note. She hooked these ladies up with the Sprinter van. It was balling. You know, they added a top part of the roof where they can go on top of the Sprinter van and watch the stars with pillows and like a mini bed up there up top. And they had put it like a,
it's like Pimp My Ride.
Yeah, it's like you're right. It was like Pimp My Ride for these couples in the Sprinter van, which was a good way to end it because you were like, "How is she going to pull this off?"
We heard you like sex,
yo, and it was funny because
dildo as a stick shift.
Well, funny that you say that because there are two girls, but I could tell the dominant one was like, when she pulled out a dildo, she was like, "No, I need something bigger." And the girl was like, "Yeah, we're gonna need something bigger." And that shit was huge already. Ooh. So I was already like, "What the fuck?" Like, these girls are on some, like,
oh yeah,
you know, they were all about it. They were speaking about it, and it was just like the way it was, like the way these people. You got some people that were like blushing about it. You got other people that were like open about it.
Yeah.
So it was a variety of all of that, and it was just something new and refreshing. Like, you get to see all these new homes, new modern homes.
Don't you think, though, like, if HBO was the streaming service, it would have been better, like, for something like that? I feel like...
Well, because, you know, HBO was the entrepreneurs of Real Sex TV.
Yeah, so. And also, was it Taxi Cab Confessions and all that? Like, that was some good, like, kinky shit, you know? Like, they pushed the boundaries.
This is true, but I just think it's hard because HBO, I feel like, are for people that grew up in the 90s. Like, people that grew up now, they think of HBO of Game of Thrones.
It's and not Euphoria,
what,
though? Euphoria.
Yeah, you know, well, you know what I mean. I'm not going to go list the new shows now, but HBO was Real Sex, boxing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so stand-up. And stand-up. So back then, that's what it was known for. Nowadays, it's not known for the same thing. So I feel like it's on the totem pole compared to Netflix, Hulu, Paramount. These things are like...
But I feel like Netflix is a little too cookie cutter, though. You know, like they'll push the boundaries, but won't go far enough for maybe something like that.
That was pretty, like, I feel like Uncouple and the How to Build a Sex Room were both shows that were definitely boundary pushers.
Yeah. Well, Uncouple for sure.
Definitely Uncouple. Cause that, I mean, even as a guy who's comfortable in sex, guys making out, they had some scenes where I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
A little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, like, but I feel like that's good. Sometimes you need to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Bad Bunny, actually, that didn't make me uncomfortable at all.
It's good.
I liked it. Kinda.
I would say it's a stop. Watch it.
So what are we swiping on this guy?
I'm going to give it a 3 swipe, regular. Just a 3. It's something to spice up your...
I nexted this one, by the way.
You did.
Because I like kind of what I was saying with the rehearsal. I don't like reality TV.
But I think you contradict yourself because you watched the end of the rehearsal. And you normally don't watch shows like that.
Because it was so interesting and good. Like, it was like I had to stick around. Like, I couldn't.
Just say you probably didn't want to feel like you wanted to stick with this one. Just say, you know, it was just not your cup of tea.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I'm like, I think super listeners specific. Could get
into it, though, because if you want to broaden up your...
Yeah.
Your reel, you want to switch it up, find something on Netflix that, you know, that's kind of cool, might want to do something different. Or even with your BF or wife, and you're like, yo, let's put something on different.
Yeah, how to build a sex room is good. It can make you, you know, be like, oh, you know what? Let's spice up our sex.
I definitely saw the furniture piece that I want to get.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. There you go. Look, that's why we watch, you know, to learn, to grow. It's beautiful. Up and coming and what's happening now, we're going to go a little speed roundy. Should I hit the button then?
I guess so.
Let's just go for it. We're gonna vibe out the button together. Let's see.
A little. Hi, yes, it's back. We had that
this
shit.
This dude's going to death. All right, here we go. So up and coming, Ring of Power is this Friday, I believe. I think it's the 2nd. That is the prequel to Lord of the Rings. It looks weird because Peter Jackson does not seem to be involved, so it does look different. Are you going to watch this, Dana?
Yes, I will.
I think we all are. You are watching Mike Tyson. I'm going to watch Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Is it a recommendation?
It is a recommendation only because Tyson has vehemently slammed the drama. Writing on Instagram earlier in the month of Hulu, stole my life story. Hulu, Mike Tyson calls Hulu a slave master over the unauthorized show. Let's go. It's worth the
that's
watch.
That's kind of like Pam and Tommy. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
House of Dragons is actually going to have a 10-year jump in it, apparently. That's fucking weird to me. Just thought that was noted. And then I listened to Aaron Rodgers on Joe Rogan. He was off the perks while playing. That was the most interesting thing. He is a very boring person.
He is.
We need to stop talking about
him. Man, that was good.
We make it look easy.
We did.
Fuck with your boys.
Yo, we Let's did that. Go. That was good.
Yeah, we are sharp.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it for the week.
I think we're getting good at this.
Damn, I didn't play the mayhem shit.
Yeah, it's okay. We got the end of the show and just mix it in too. Just take two cuts, bro.
Right,
we
can
do
what
we
want.
The fuck?
The fuck?
Do what we want. We play two tracks at the end. you know? We got all this music coming out right now, y'all. Derringer, Hit-Boy, Alchemist are all in the same family. They're all making beats right now with the same group of people. Griselda, Lauren. What about that Freddie Gibbs and Benny the Butcher beef, bro?
I think it's weird. It's I don't like that. I think he posted a picture or video of the girl like giving top, and I don't like that.
Yeah, because
that's like what do they call that? Revenge porn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, I just hope no one gets shot.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it just is.
I mean, because they're definitely two serious ass rappers. Yeah.
And then Freddie has a criminal past as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. And Benny, we all know about Benny. So he was just in Atlanta in these couple of days, actually.
So I like beef and stuff, but I hope it just stays there. Yeah. You know, and leave the girl out of this real fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
And they make great music together. Yeah. So it's kind of like, well, I'm not getting any more of that. More haters than ever, but fuck it, why would I care? We used to go to Sin City, get the casket out. But I mean, it's not a funeral. My niggas took the fast. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
No. Beef and hip hop makes publicity. It's the fact that I'm a world
traveling. Ever since Travis Scott has gotten back,
fuck Travis Scott.
You can do anything, y'all.
If we ever get big, we'll never fucking interview that dude.
Travis fucking Scott. Name Bella
in my contacts. Let me not say that. OG, but I'm
younger than you. Why? I don't want to talk Travis Scott.
Because it's not me that runs this. This is a partnership. There's no I in team. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I had to re-say that. Now that you said that, we ain't never fucking having Travis Scott on this fucking show.
Let's go. But the kids love him.
I don't give a fuck.
But the kids.
Fuck the kids that love him, too. To a blackout lord, cause I'm a comic dipping sauce. They're like just as bad as the car. Fuck that bullshit. Woodstock. You never been in a car. Fucking kids. Obscure emblem in the middle of my sweatshirt. Cooling out. Yeah, if you know the podcast you listen to, you know what we're talking about. White tees, black guns, it's Limp Bizkit. Corn. Woodstock. Like 99. Like the number 9. Good crack, come
back like the number 9. Did anybody die?
No, but a girl got raped.
And then this is that JID too. I fucking love this album. I feel like this album and what is it called? Gemini Season.
Uh-huh.
I've listened to Gemini Season so much. JID back in the city with it.
Jitty done been all across the globe. They say Jitter scribbler. He's silly Mike Tyson, when he bro. Look at that picture from him with his. He should be
good, man. He's
Tiger.
Cold.
Yeah. He's from the hood, nice. Nigga down the road.
He was just chilling right by the stove. Then they saw the patrol. No with time to roll. Saw the patrol. It was time to ride.
Motor running on Memorial Drive. Got a country cut. Sound like two lives. Black man Savannah had the floor. Hangover pretty line. Much gave him another family life. Members
in Atlanta. Oh, not yeah. Well, yes, I was like, oh, no. They just go let that Beretta fly. Cause you niggas bugging spray pesticides. It's me and the bros. It's no extra guys. Everybody loves a comeback. No exercise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come people love redemption because I think time. You can see they see it in themselves. I think ultimately that's what you want for yourself. Another shot. You know I'm a rant when I talk to Jah. Niggas say that I can't.
Also, life's long. It's full of ups and downs. Right.
Like, at some point, Bad Bunny is gonna have some bad things that happen. Like, you know, some shit happens.
Yeah.
It just does. Mariah Carey, people forget. She fell out of favor for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And now she's on top. Yeah, she got robbed. But
yeah.
She's the queen of Christmas.
Yeah, she is.
Britney Spears.
Yup, she made a comeback.
This beat is
shout out to TJ, certified fighter. He's got his fight coming up in September. Let's go. I'm not a two-stepping man. I said I do not dance. It's a gun inside my pants. Maybe after the win, I can get him in here. He'll have the belt then.
Penny for what day is that? Wait, when is it? September?
Yeah, I think it's September 23rd. Yeah. Mama said the Messiah's in moccasins. Trying to say the kids in them apartments. Show a way to live with other options. I feel it's
excellence
and lots of. Usually they're on Fridays and Saturdays. Balenciagas. I can pay for this little nigga scholarship. I ain't caught up in rap nigga politics. Play with me, you're playing yourself. Playing with death, say him a prayer. Kathy and Carl got September 23rd. I'm in DeKalb County, you'll be carrying catering chef. Cooking.
I love this album too, because it's just like the Cab County, like it's more chicken. Like, you just hear all the Atlanta shit. In a breast dive. Took a drive, my plug on the west side of Atlanta. He known a finesse guys with a hammer on Camelton headshots on the camera, but knock out the dreadlock. That's a felony charge. He called the F, niggas cunner the A and get X'd out. But I only been here cause I'm trying to help. Only one you can help is niggas yourself. Said that now. I can't damn lie, ain't dapping no hand. Sanitize, no slide on your man. Landslide, there's a nine in my pants. Hancock, you gon' try to recant, you can now. I can step on the ant pile. I'ma shoot at the ground. Dance now.
What I handsome gift to live in the land you
said. All
right,
catch y'all next week.
Thanks for tuning in.